August the 6th, 2020. This program is brought to you by New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Mirad Speaks, Block Talk Radio, where we teach Quranic Arabic, Islamic studies, and comparative religion, not just religion. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. With Allah's name, the merciful benefactor, the merciful redeemer, As-salam alaykum, which means peace be on you. I'm your host for this evening, Elihu Bey. My topic is Al-Islam, the tafsir of Imam Warfuddin Muhammad, commentary of the Holy Quran. If you missed any of the talks, go online to www.blogtalkradio.com archives and you'll be able to listen to the talks that you have missed. So once again, we will open with a short dua, and then we will continue where we left off yesterday. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulihi al-kareem Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam mubarak. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, family has rights over believers. Prophet Muhammad is our original self. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, prophet, closer believer than self. The Quran, Surah 7, Ayah 157, he came down with the light. John 3:13, heaven none ascended, none unless came down. Bukhari, page 8, 246, Adam, 60 cubits, arm length. So Muhammad retained flesh purity, the mortal innocence. And Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, also had lived even without God revealing anything to him for 40 years. And he had to retain the flesh purity and the mortal innocence that God created for all human beings. And therefore, God selected him from amongst his followers, his fellow citizens, and selected him to be a messenger to all people, and then told him, I know that they will think you are something above a human being, too, because you are going to do marvelous things. Tell them, I am a human mortal like you are. Anna basharun muflikun. Anna basharun muflikun. I am a human person or human mortal like all of you are. Slavery under God is your maximum freedom. And then they were still not without a unanimous decision. There were many who didn't agree with their portrayal of Jesus Christ as God and man. I'm still talking about what I started out talking about, the human being in the excellent created form for your freedom and for your prosperity. When Muhammad said, and none will rise or go up except on that pattern that he gave Adam, he is saying that you won't have prosperity, you won't have happiness, you won't have until you conform to the pattern of life that God created for Adam. I got all of these notes, and I don't need any of them, because this has been my subject for over 50 years. Praise be to Allah. So the Bible says something similar. It says, no one has risen to heaven except him who was in heaven already. Al-Islam is the true freedom, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings us to this true freedom by telling us that we were created to be his slave, but a slave of God if he is not a fanatic, or a drunken drinking the wine of revelation and not understanding the plain teaching. If he's not confused, slavery under God is your maximum freedom. Slavery to your Creator is your maximum freedom. It is the true freedom. It's the freedom your heart and soul that God gave you once in the true freedom. And look how a strategy revealed to a mortal amongst us in his human excellence before he got revelation broke the grips of slavery. God addressed all of us as the Ibad of God. Ya Ibadullah. Here are all human beings, especially the men being called by God, being addressed by God as the slave of God. Belial heard that, and he refused to go anymore being a slave of a man. He refused to obey his master, and his master tortured him to get him to conform and go back to his slavish behavior. He had before, and Belial would rather die than to do that. He had lived for 40 years amongst false idols and false idol worshippers and had retained the human mold that God created for Adam. Let's follow the man, that man, and love him more than we love our families. Love him more than we love our own selves, because he is our original self, par excellence. So Muhammad is the complete man because he brought his community to the promised land. The Quran, Surah 33, Ayah 6, Muhammad closer to believers than own selves. Bukhari, page 113. Believe not until love profit most. Matthew 10:35-37. Jesus set family against itself. Connecting ourselves back to our father Adam and not God. Adam is our father. God is our creator. And earning his acceptance of us so that we are united again in that great relationship with our original nature and our own selves, our life. So what will help the Muslim? Follow and do what Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, did, and look at Imam W. Dean Muhammad for an example. It is not mentioned because our own family members and the whole of mankind, because mothers wasn't that important back there in those days. Men cared more about his father and brothers because they worked together and made money and fought together and got over on people. So he needed the man. His attachment was to his father and his brothers. That's why the mother wasn't mentioned, and even the whole of mankind. Why? Because if you have what Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, is, that is the complete man. Even Abraham didn't live to see the promised land. So Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, was a man who brought his community to the promised land while he was living. So he is the complete man. And if you don't love that man who lived not selfishly, but lived for the whole of humanity, then you don't have real love. Your love is not complete. And if you have a choice between him and your babies, your relatives, your family, you have to choose him and sacrifice the family. If you have a choice between the whole of mankind, all of the people on earth, and him, you have to choose him and cut the whole world loose. Why? Because if you stay with him, you will bring the whole world back. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24. Allah feeds from above and from below. pointing firstly to its creator, but also pointing to other things in creation that are similar to it to have us understand the schemes of matter, the plan for matter, etc. But I also can use the language of this so-called modern secular world too, and it satisfies me who was in Einstein and many others. Einstein came up with the theory of relativity. The scientists in that field will say what? Not a Muslim, just any scientist. He will say, yes, that is the truth, but it is relative. It is relative, pardon me. That's what he'll say, meaning that you have to see its relations with something else, with Earth, sun, because it couldn't get that without sunshine. It couldn't get the growth. It couldn't get its growth without the earth to give us the food. And really, the sky gives its food. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this before modern science, says he feeds from above and also from below. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. Now, science tells us that we are there where there are rain and lightning and thunder, that nutrients are formed above in the sky by lightning and the charge of polarity, the field of electricity, the charge of it, and everything, those charges and others I didn't mention, form nutrients, and the water is not all water. I used to believe this until I read this. I was a grown man with family and thought that the sky rained only water. If the sky rained only water, we wouldn't have the luxurious, plentiful, and beautiful harvests from our gardens and farms that we have. It rains also nutrients. Nutrients also formed in the rain. And then the raindrop comes down with water and nutrients. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed that, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said he feeds. If it's only water, he's not feeding, he's giving drink. So that's not feeding. Water is just giving drink for thirst. But if he got some material inside the water, he's giving food and drink. And that's what science says. I think I'm the imam, I am, because I love science and I love the material world. If we don't love what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the material world, and he made us, and he made us to benefit from the material world. If we don't love a relationship with that material world that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made to give us our material bodies and to engage our intelligence, our thinking mind, studious mind, then we are missing what is number one to develop our intellect and to be a real good student, productive, creative. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. Now, Al-Islam wants to condition us for the work we have to do for our families and our neighborhood and our world. And how does it condition us? It tells us that the things that are invisible, the things that are not seen, they are the strongest than the visible, what you see. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, look at the sky, see how those bodies are held up there. And it seems as though there's not structures to support them. They are not supported by visible structures. There are planets up there, Jupiter, much bigger than the Earth, much heavier than the Earth. But we can go out and get a telescope, and sometimes, maybe, we can see it with our eyes if we know where to look for it. And it is up there in space, suspended in space. and it seems as though nothing is holding it up. Now, we know something is holding it up when we learn science, astronomy, etc. We know what's holding it up. Science has identified what is holding it up. But for the human eye, we don't see anything holding it up. Imagine that. The earth that we are on right now, we could not know the size of it unless science had not discovered how to measure the size of the earth, how to know something about it. We couldn't know how to measure it. We would think it was endless. You don't see any end to the earth. You keep going, you think it's endless. Look how amazing God's creation is. We can't really know it with our common sense, with our common mind. Look at space. These are the things God wants us to think about so that we will be conditioned to be successful in our life on earth. He wants us to have faith, so he created a world to signal to you things that tell your thoughts and excite your intellect, excite your mind, and make you want to ask questions. Why? How long? Where does it end? Where are we going? These are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and become thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonders of the creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful. So he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky and he said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us not only from the earth, but he says he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. So he said he made the earth to give you all that you need. That is what God said. He made it to be enough for you and your needs. But yet we have a lot of people starving. A lot of people say they don't have work. Was God wrong? No, God is right. The world is wrong. There shouldn't be nobody starving. There should be nobody who is able to work out of work. We had a congressman pushing for full employment, and we still should be pushing for full employment. There is no need for anyone who wants to work to be out of a job. And no need for anybody to be hungry. You hear about the war on poverty. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, God declared the first war on poverty when God told the Jews, the Christians, and us not to be comfortable while our brothers and sisters are suffering. That is the war on poverty. Many have too much and may have nothing. Many have nothing. That is not good. It is not God's fault. It is the world's fault that who are not listening to God and not obeying God, that we have these ugly conditions in our lives on the earth. Hunger, joblessness, because man ordered the world wrong. They are the thoughts that brought people to believe in God and become thinkers and later seers and later messengers and prophets of God, looking at the wonderful of the creation, the wonders of the creation. So God wants to prepare us to be successful. So he made a creation to prepare us to be successful. Then he revealed about the sky and he said, look at the sky, how he made it. Then he tells us that he feeds us not only from the earth, but he says he feeds us both from the sky and the earth. Then we study science and learn from science. Nutrients come down with the rain, not just rain. So we think only rain, but science has discovered that not only water is coming down from the sky, but nutrients are coming down from the sky. And that is the substance that is needed in the earth to make plants and food grow more and better. It is for life, to feed the plant life. So not only water is coming down from heaven, food is coming down from heaven to grow your food better and to make it more abundance on this earth. So God revealed this long before science explained it. And he feeds you both from the heavens, from the skies, and from the earth. The three seeds from above, spirit and below, material. So the Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24. Allah feeds from above and below. Say, who gives you substance from the heavens and the earth? Say it is Allah, and certainly it is that either we or ye are on right guidance or in manifest error. So this tree is feeding from above and from beneath. Above is symbolic of the spiritual needs. It is feeding upon the spiritual life from what God created for it. And its material life rooted in the earth is feeding also from what God provided for it. The roots are not just feeding on material things, but the roots need spirit too. It is feeding upon water and breathing air too. If it can't get oxygen, it will die. Not just the tree, even small plants. If their roots can't get oxygen, they will die. Earth represents our appetite. Sky gives perception. The Quran, Surah 34, Ayah 24, Allah feeds from above and below. The Quran, Surah 57, Ayah 25, iron sent down. God says to us in the Quran that he is the one who provides for us from the earth and from the sky. He gives us our substance. I'm using the language of the translator, provided both from the earth and from the sky. From the earth, what is that? The slave a lot of times, pardon me, to save a lot of times. I'm not going to give a lot of quotes. I'm going to deal straight to the purpose. What is the earth? Appetite. So God gives us whatever we need for our earthly appetite, food, clothing, shelter, comfort of this reality, etc. But he also gives us from the sky and what came from the sky, rain. It is symbolic of revelation sometimes. Rain comes down, or rain comes from the lower skies, and we know other things. Sometimes the sky will rain down material objects. And sometimes we find after the object has burned and cooled down, and it is safe to go and pick it up with our hands, precious metals come down from the sky. So he also gives us material from the sky too, not just water or spiritual. That is why we say God sends down iron. So this is in the Quran. You who read, we know that a metaphor or a symbolic language that has to be understood, but it is also true in common language. We know there has been objects that fall to the earth from the sky, and they found there was iron metal in those objects. It has been heated up, the fire falling through the atmosphere and cooled off, and there was iron left there in the hole that the meteor made when it fell down into the earth. We know this is literally true too. So whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran is true to your mind that it is uneducated and true to the mind educated. In the language of revelation, it has to be true in both. So if God's days, he is going to give you pure virgins. He means that the pure ones will get pure virgins. You probably can't handle 72 of them, but it says 72. Now, that is the part you need interpreted, but not the virgins. You're going to get some virgins down here. It says the virgin man is worthy of the virgin woman, and the virgin woman is worthy of the virgin man. Well, we know on this sensual level that the cheapest reward, the more expensive reward, is on the level of the translation and interpretation. So the hereafter is more valuable, more precious, more both in quality and quantity. This is God's words in Quran. Sky, Allah saves us perception. Pardon me. Sky, Allah gives us perception. So he's going to give us from the sky. Well, will it be those metals that fall from the sky? No. What is he going to give us from the sky? To govern our appetite. He's going to fulfill our appetite from the earth, to survive our appetite. Don't you know man has to survive his own appetite? His appetite will kill him. And the appetite will get him killed, both because if he wants what I have, I might kill him. You know that many of you, if he wants without bothering me, he might kill himself, consuming too much or consuming the wrong things. So it is not talking about the earth gives or fulfills that, our appetite. What is he going to give us from the sky? Perception. You students, please write that down. The clear perception that will free the life down on earth is the perception we get from the sky. The Arab quote says, the night has 1,000 eyes and the day but one. One talking about the sun and the thousands is talking about the stars. Actually, we know it is more than 1,000, but they said that just to make a picture comparison. The night has eyes, meaning that the night has lights, and when you understand those lights, it will open your eyes to a bigger reality. So it is the heavens that open our eyes to the biggest reality. So we will never know this system of matter unless we study the skies. And you can't see the sky until the sun has gone. The sun sets and darkness prevails. And then we can see on a clear night when there are not clouds in the lower heaven. We can see a big space up there. That's right, always tells us that space is much bigger than our space down here. Any common person knows that, and so many like the farther you look, the deeper you go. You still see signs of more lights behind those lights. They invented the telescope, and it reveals many lights that we couldn't see or reach with our eyes. They made the telescope powerful enough to see beyond what we can see. And even the telescope reaches its end, and it is just like the eyes. See, there are more lights behind the light that it can see too well, can't see too well. So we know that we cannot reach the end of the light. We can't reach the end of space. Man has progressed to this degree. He has progressed in science, technology. But he cannot give anybody on earth a map of the universe because he is steadily turning his glass to see further and further away. And every time he gets a high-powered glass to see further away, he is seeing more stars. He doesn't know the end of it. so he can give us a map of this reality. He can give us a map of the creation itself, and some of you want to see the end of God, to see where God starts and stops. First, see where his world starts and stops, that you are looking on, living in. You can't see that, and none of your highest scientists can see that. The United States can't see that. It can't give us a map of the universe. It only can give us a map of what is known to them, the science so far. That is a reality that ought to humble you and stop you from asking disrespectful questions of God, disrespecting your God, asking stupid questions. Abraham is our second father. The Quran, Surah 2, Ayat 124, Abraham an imam for the nations. So from the heavens come perception. How are we to pinpoint this so we know, in fact, what is it all about? The prophet Abraham is our second father. He is called second father because he earned it from God. God saw him in his constitution, in his mental makeup, in his mind, his thoughts, his interests, what his heart was interested in. And God loved him in that form and even called him a friend. And God gave him title Imam for all nations, for all people, according to Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him. God also established him as our second father when he reported to his followers and to the world what he experienced on this ascent from the Kaaba up into the heavens and his night travel from the vicinity of Mecca, the Kaaba, to the distant mosque of Aqsa. He reported what he saw. So when he was taken up, he saw Adam, our first father, on the first level. It is ascending up into the heavens. He greeted him to let us know how we are to recognize Adam. He said, "Peace be on you, my father Adam." Every other level he ascended to, he met the prophets, and he would greet them the same, but he would not say, "My father." He said, "My brother, this my brother," that until he reached the seventh heaven. And he met Abraham there. And he greeted him also, "Father." He said, "Peace be on you, my father Abraham." You will not find this in the Quran. This is given so that we will know that we are as followers of Prophet Muhammad, prayers and the peace be upon him, that we are to recognize Jesus Christ, Adam, and all the others. And the last and the seventh highest heaven, Abraham, we are to recognize and know that two of those are our fathers of mankind. The first one, the mortal Adam, and the last one, the intellect, Ibrahim, Allahu Akbar. How did the sky serve Abraham? Abraham was trying to find truth to free his heart and his soul. But his mind is in a situation to grow as the world pleases him. The thinkers would call them free thinkers in the history of the development of the world. The free thinkers is pondering or thinking on what it is observing in the real world, everything in his environment, including himself. He is thinking, how did this come about? And what is the purpose for this? He wants understanding of his mind and his soul. Abraham, he left his own father because now, do not say he left his father too. this has nothing to do with little Wallace. We are talking about something bigger than Wallace right now. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, Allah made angels with wings, 2, 3, 4 pairs. So Allah created angels with wings in pairs, 2, 3, and 4. Equal, these are the forces of nature: natural motivation, human drive, and human sentiment, and human aspiration. Put them together and you have Jah, the basic principle of operating in nature. Who worship Jah? The disbelievers, who won't accept that a divine being created this world. He won't accept anything but the forces of operation in nature, in the material world. Fast, breakfast, further iftar, fitra. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1. The originator. Break fast. Break, separation, plus fast, abstinence. Eggs is life, nucleus, seed, core for regeneration. Let us look at this word, break fast. It looks like me, break fast. I would call it a quick break. Let us look at another word. It also means to abstain, to stay away from something. Break also means a separation. The first meaning is a break followed by abstinence, abstaining from something. How can you connect that with religion? To stand in religion, you have to break from the ungodly world. And then after breaking from it, you have to resist it and keep always from influences. That is not too bad. Eggs represent the nucleus of life, seed of life. That's core for regeneration. Now, if you scramble there, that, man, how are you going to get the pattern back? So earth shine means you'll get God's word in everything. This is not foolishness. Both Bible and Quran says that the earth will one day shine with the glory of its Lord. The church will shine. The congregation will shine. The land will shine. Everything is going to shine. Now, what does that mean? It means that the man has stolen the revealed knowledge and put it secretly everywhere. And it is coming a day when it is going to be exposed. And people are going to see it in everything that's in all of their languages and all of their activities. They are going to see the imprint of the Word of God as a living proof that this world had nothing before it got God, before it got in touch with revelation. If I can explain to you the dining table and connect the thing you have there with religion and connect your dress and connect that with it, go to your sports and connect that with it. If I can go to your science and connect that with it, if I can go to everything, even your mannerism, and connect that with what we call divine revelation, then that's the established proof for the first. There was God and revelation. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayat 1, the originator. Let's look at the word in Arabic for Tura. What letters are there here? F-T-R-O. So we put a feminine ending on it. Now we have fitra. What comes first? Nature. What is nature? Fitra. So what is breakfast? Fitra. Having the same basic letters. This fitra has the Arabic word in it. Nature, there is a chapter in the Quran called Al-Fatir. What does it mean? The originator. How can we understand God as the originator? In the nature that was first made, If we say God is the originator, it is speaking to his role in the beginning about creation for the first time. In its first state, Arabic works on basic letters, F, heavy, T, and F, are basic letters. So we can have nature, breakfast, and we can have originator from the same basic letters. Dhuhr is the most common name for lunch or noon. Noon is talking about the spiritual life. Nun is talking about the spiritual life. Let's go now to lunch. I don't do this for everybody, but a good friend. But a good friend, lunch has different names, but most common name is Dhuhr. So this word actually means This word actually means noon time. We make salat, Dhuhr. That is an English word. And it connects with a word that the Catholic pronounce it nun. It is pronounced nun, and what is it talking about? The same thing, a development in a certain aspect of human life. It is talking about the spiritual life, the spiritual development. Noon is mythology, and nun is the religion. So I'm telling you this connects again with nun. They pronounce this nun in secret language. It is noon. This is not only referring to a time of the day, it is pronounced noon, and this nun should be pronounced noon, but it is not. So what does noon mean? That this nun gets none of this world. They only want Jesus and the life to come. So this nun gets none of this world. Do you think I'm joking? Tell the learned people in theology what I'm telling you, and you will see I'm not joking. When you see their faces, when you start talking, you will know I must not have been joking. These people are serious. Sura means the back of an animal, the sun arch. Tahira means it appears. Sura means noonday, noontime. They change it a bit. The same letter and it becomes something else. You just put dots here and there. It becomes Tahira. It means back. But it means the back of an animal, a part of the sun as it goes up from the horizon east up to the top. And arch, it makes like the back of an animal. It's called Tahira. Althira, take another word. We're just changing it a bit, Tahira. This means it appeared. Change a little more to Euthira. And it means it appeared at the same time of the day. The sun is the highest in the sky. The light is most profuse, broad. So the whole earth is given the maximum benefit of the light. So if you want the maximum of the light in a room, we raise the light higher so it casts, spreads in a wide area. So this form of the verb is a bordering of light. So what does it mean? What does it indicate? It indicates a time of intellectual abundance, of knowledge. The knowledge is really high, and it spreads far and wide. So Juma prayer, at Dhuhr time, the light is higher. Supper time, when the light is gone, last supper. So this is why the Juma prayer is at that time, because it represents that time when the rising of the intellect or the rising of a cultural life, where the light is highest and it is spreading the furthest So this also is the meal. So what is the meal? Is this word supper. So what time of day is that? When the light is gone, you make your own connection. I don't have to say anything about anything behind that. So this word has a last supper. So the last supper at a time when the light is not to be seen. And I bear witness that they sure didn't show us any light in America. So after Thura noon, the lunch, then comes the Isha. And we say Isha prayer. And the same word is for dinner, supper. This time in our life are connected with religious life. And the time for eating, being connected with religious life, tells us that somebody is thinking of connecting physical substances with spiritual substances. And whoever had the power to put spiritual language on our physical language must have been in better position of authority in the world than the physical people. So if the physical people were in a position of authority, why didn't they put their physicalized language on all of these things? And you see that the non-spiritual people haven't done anything. The religious people run everything. But they are two parties of them, of the religious people. One party teach the people out of knowledge, God revealed, and the other party spreads that knowledge. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 3. Substances feed from above and below. Blessings coming down and coming up. That's the way we should look at our life at home. Those that are standing tall over the little short one that was just born a few years ago. Blessings ought to be coming down, adults, and we ought to be looking at the blessings coming up. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, we eat fish from both the sweet and the salt water. The water reflects. The soul, the emotional nature, is a very sensitive body. The last little thing gets a response from it. The least little thing gets a response from it. C equals C, the water can let us see what's near it or in its view. The reflection is better when it is still. Water reflects. Equals human desire, clarity. So the Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, eat fish from the two waters. The Quran, Surah 13, Ayah 4, one water rains down yet grows different plants. The Quran, Surah 21, Ayah 30, all life is created from water. Ecclesiastes 11:1, cast your brand on the water. So you might say you are giving it to us. You take the charge like that. Yes, you can do no more than God has created you to do. And man cannot withhold anything from man. God has created the protection. We don't have protection. I can give you all of that. And you can do a thing with it. You can't do a thing with it. But there are a few out there who can do something with it. The Quran says, see how God causes the rain to fall down on the same land, and some things grow up beautiful and luxurious in their growth, and others come up niggardly like a nigger who didn't get chance to go to school. Now, I know niggerly didn't come from nigger saying. The imam is confusing the two words. Niggerly comes from this rule, and nigger comes from this rule. Please don't waste your time. If you followed me upon faith, you would have problems. You wouldn't have problems. And the test of the following is always there, is their faith. It is not how much knowledge you know or what college or university you attended. It is how much faith you got. That is the ultimate test. That is the final test. And if your faith is not given even in education, what can you achieve there? Nothing. Faith is the beginning of the Quran, says. He created everything, living things, from water. So the Bible says, cast your brand upon the water, and it will return to you. We have faith in the people, and trust your knowledge to those who are nothing but spiritual. In their constitution now, they are not rationally constituted or logically structured. They are just like water. But that is the beginning of life for the mentality, for the mind. Trust your knowledge to them, and it will return to you. Look at the English. Trust your knowledge to the water, and it will return to you. It is a parable, isn't it? So we know that waves go out and come in, don't they? One time of the day, the waves go out, and the other time of the day, the waves come in. So those people who saw this and were aware of the water enough to know that you can cast something upon the water, and you just might find it on the shore in the morning. So when the waves came back in, it also says those who were trying to convert this particular audience, they knew that they were talking to people who were selfishly motivated. They were dealing with a very selfish world, stingy and very selfish elite. They didn't want to share their knowledge with people, thinking that their knowledge would be given with no benefit to them directly. So those pious teachers were trying to convince the head, hard-hearted, selfish world to trust education to the masses of the people who are not logically structured, who are not students of higher knowledge. They are not materially constituted. They are not industrialists, etc. They are just spirit, wind, water, and they are just spirituality. So trust, and that is the body of faith. So trust your knowledge to those common people who are established upon faith, and they are contained in the context of faith and spirituality. Trust them. Do you get the picture? Thank God I am drawing a beautiful picture. It is looking so good, I want to stop and just look at it for a while. They are trying to find ways into them. So their advice would be accept and thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They reached a lot of government heads, and they took on this new knowledge. They did accomplish a lot. The Quran, Surah 5, Ayat 103, most men know not. In Al-Islam, we don't go that way. We don't compromise. We are not trying to get the leaders of the world to accept what we have for personal advantage or political advantage. We give it to them straight. They can accept or reject it. We trust God, Creator, that God has created people who will reject because they are not of his spirit. And he has created people who will accept they are of his spirit. We will miss many, but we will get the few. In Quranic Arabic, it is wa akhiruhum la yakulin. Translated, it is, and most of them do not know. The great majority of them, they don't know. They don't have the knowledge. The Quran, Surah 35, Ayah 12, eat fish from the two waters. Matthew 5, 13, what good if the salt loses its savor? Are the sweet water on earth more than the salt water? No. There is much more ocean water than lakes and rivers, right? So the salt water bears us a lot of material. There are huge fish in the salt water, the water of the wealthy and the powerful. So this is a description of their spirituality. But you can't drink it, can you? I sure can't drink it. I will throw it up every time before it gets down. And just to think a certain party of them was using salt until they had an interpretation in their life by one who didn't believe in salt. He believed in kindness over salt. And he said, if the salt has lost its savor, throw it out. It is no more good. I am bringing on a taste for sweetness. The day of our salt is out, and it won't taste good in the mouth of humanity anymore. Praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-Islam, tender, delectable, tasty, what is it saying? Al-Islam brings in a new interpretation of ocean. Al-Islam does not see ocean as a spirituality of the rich or the spirituality of the material powerful. Al-Islam sees the ocean interpreting the message from God in the ocean is what it should be. It should have remained in the condition of the people of the book. Caution. Salt is spiritual in spirituality in the costuous intelligence. Sweet water is spirituality of our in a fun-loving mentality. So here are a people who have a spirituality and an intelligence inside of the body of spirituality. Sadaqallahu al-Azim, surely Allah speaks the truth. We thank New Africa Excellent Enterprise LLC, Miraj Speaks, for allowing us to come before you. And we want you to take out a subscription of Muslim Journal, because the masjids are not full and a lot of people are not going because of the pandemic. And if we would take our subscription to Muslim Journal, we will know what the Muslims is doing around the world and in our community, and it'll come right to your door. So let's take out the Muslim Journal subscriptions. Thank you. May God guide us and have mercy on us and bless us with the light of understanding. As I greet you in the Arabic language, assalamu alaikum, peace be unto you. And once again, thank you for listening.